Good morning. Joining us now is cybersecurity expert Morgan Wright. Morgan's also the chief security advisor for SentinelOne and former executive at Cisco and Alcatel-Lucent, former senior advisor for the U.S. Department of State Anti-Terrorism Assistance Program. Morgan, you know, this since you're a cybersecurity expert, you know all about hacking. And we've had an attack on the Colonial Pipeline in this country by a group that we now know, DarkSide, which allegedly is from Russia, a group of Russians. My question when I hear these stories is, why can't we find these people? I don't understand. I didn't think you could hide anywhere. How come these people can hide and we can't find them?
You know, Mary, that is one of the penultimate questions. That's the $64,000 questions. Here's one of the reasons why. There's a reason why criminal groups like this continue to operate in Eastern Europe or former Soviet bloc countries, because the United States has no extradition treaty with them. Neither do places like the UK, you know, some of our allies. There's no things called mutual legal assistance treaties, which is they say they will help us do investigations. Yet very rarely do these gangs get taken down. The Dutch police, Interpol, the U.S. DHS, some other folks and the FBI got together to take down a ransomware group and their botnet recently. But, man, that's few and far between. They can operate like this because they have the implicit approval of places like China and Russia, North Korea, to sit inside their borders and conduct these operations. Why? Because the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Mm-hmm. Can we prevent something like this? Like, oftentimes when we think about the size of our government, the amount of money we spend, the amount of secret operations that are going on, you kind of assume that, well, yeah, your critical infrastructure is going to be protected against hacking. You won't lose access to half of the East Coast's oil just from one hacker. Yet here we are. Is it possible to prevent something like this?
It is. You know, and there are lots of companies out there, ours being one, that focuses on the use of autonomous systems. In other words, Vince, we cannot just have humans be the front line of defense anymore. Why? Because these attacks are at machine speed. They're at light speed. So what we have to do is we have to respond appropriately with autonomous systems. More use of artificial intelligence, more use of machine learning. It's not just for weapon systems. It's not just for, you know, Department of Defense stuff. We actually need it to defend and protect. 85% of the critical infrastructure in the United States is owned by the private sector. It's not owned by the government. But yet the government would defend that same critical infrastructure if a terrorist group or somebody came in and bombed it. We've got to look at it the same way to say, what are we doing to defend and protect those things? Because at the end of the day, Vincent Murray, guess who pays for all of this? You and I do. The taxpayers, the consumers. We pay it at the pump. We pay it for the goods. So eventually the consumers, the citizens need to say, guys, step up your game. Start advancing the technologies that we need to defend and protect critical infrastructure.
Yeah. Now, is it possible for us to have hackers that can undo what these hackers are doing?
It's very difficult, and I'll tell you why. It's because they're using encryption, and the key length used for these encryptions, basically with the standard encryption we use today, it would take very advanced computers at the NSA a million years to break just one message encrypted with 256-bit encryption, which is what a lot of this stuff uses. That's just geek speak to say it's really frickin' hard. So, it's very difficult. Now, there have been times where they found flaws in how the crypto was implemented, and they've been able to undo that. But what we see right now, this group called DarkSide, they also provide ransomware as a service. They actually, I hate to say robust, but it's a very robust package. It's going to be very difficult to defeat them technically at this point.
What I feel like, you know, ransomware headlines have picked up dramatically in frequency over the last few years as we watch various states and municipalities being held ransom, private companies being held ransom by these hackers who say, pay us exorbitant sums of money in order to release your proprietary information back to you. Is that the case, that the trend line is headed vertically, that we're getting a lot more of these ransomware attacks?
62% increase last year during the pandemic. Absolutely. Not only that, they're getting aggressive with what's called double extortion. Either you pay us this money, and if you don't, then we're just going to release your files to the world and we'll disclose all your sensitive information. Look, MPD in D.C., the Metropolitan Police Department, another ransomware attack. There is an increasing aggressive attacks against law enforcement by these gangs as well, too. This is definitely it's being targeted. And I'll tell you, Vincent Murray, one of the key things about this, the takeaways, is that this criminal group now is acting like a nation state. Only nation states used to be able to attack critical infrastructure at this magnitude, at this size and scale. We now have criminal groups doing that. So at some point we have to say, if you're Afghanistan and you're hiding Osama bin Laden, there's a price to pay, right?
Yep.
If you're Russia and you're hiding these criminal terrorists, these criminal gangs, there needs to be a price to pay at the policy level, at the country level.
Yeah, Morgan Wright, a couple of years ago, you remember in 2019, the city of Baltimore was locked up in a ransomware attack. And the attribution to that attack was that they had an old edition of Windows. That was the claim. And that Windows itself was being exploited in a ton of cities around the country who hadn't updated their operating systems because the hackers were using something that the U.S. government had long known about. They were referring to it as, quote, Eternal Blue, that the U.S. government knew that there was a vulnerability in an older version of Windows and was happy to exploit it until the criminals found out about it. And that's when they alerted Microsoft to let them know they were vulnerable. Is that the normal way that these ransomware attacks are happening, old software that remains unupdated?
That was one example. In fact, I was delivering a keynote speech at the Digital Government Summit in Baltimore the day that that happened, Vince. So I remember watching the city. You know, nobody showed up. It was all hands on deck. And you're right. It was an old version of what's called Windows SMB. The NSA toolkit that was exploited by the shadow brokers, yeah, went out there. Look, these attacks normally happen in one of three ways. Either somebody is the target of phishing or spear phishing. They click on a link or open a file they shouldn't. There is a novel exploit called a zero day where it exploits something nobody knows about. Or third, exactly what you're referring to, you've got a vulnerability in your system. You've got a pothole on your road you haven't fixed for 6 months, and you wonder why accidents keep happening. Well, fix the pothole, patch the system. Microsoft actually put out an alert to say, hey, guess what, guys? This software we haven't supported for 2 years, you ought to patch it. That was a clue that the NSA just got through telling Microsoft, oh, by the way, we've been using this exploit to attack governments. When the toolkit got exposed, criminal gangs started using this and putting it into their software to attack. And by the way, North Korea was the first one to do it. It was called the WannaCry ransomware attack was based upon that exact exploit you're talking about, Vince. Wow.
You know, this group DarkSide is now saying that they did not mean to take down the U.S. pipeline. They say we are apolitical. We do not participate in geopolitics, do not need to tie us with a defined government and look for our other motives. Misspelled government. Our goal is to make money and not create problems for society. So from today, we introduce moderation and check each company that our partners want to encrypt to avoid social consequences in the future. Why don't they just undo what they did? If they really mean it, why don't you just undo it?
Number one, I totally believe everything I read on the internet. So these guys must be pillars of society, you know.
Well,
and
this comes
doing
from NBC.
Good, you know. You know. You know why? Because at the end of the day, it's all about money. For these guys, it's about money. However, though, there's a big thing that's not being addressed here, and it's gonna. There's folks out there not going to like it, but it's the use of cryptocurrency to fuel stuff like this. That's the only way they're getting paid. You want to stop ransomware, then you have at some point the government, which they're doing, by the way, the Treasury is looking for tools to track Bitcoin payments to specially designated nationals to say, hey, we want to see what's going on. At some point, the criminals and the terrorists are going to ruin it for everybody else, and it's going to end up in the regulation of cryptocurrency by governments around the world to prevent exactly this.
We'll have to go back to unmarked bills. Morgan Wright, thank you so much. Good to have you with us.
You bet, Vince Murray.
Right, 8:15 now.